are now tuned in to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. We got Mr. Herb Middleton. You there, Herb?
What's up, Shaki? How you doing, man?
What's up, man? I didn't mean to get you in trouble, man, but I had to blast that. You sent that to me. I didn't mean to get you in trouble. I had already texted him and Ann and let him know I was going to play at the top of the hour. So hope you don't get in trouble. I love y'all.
I love Ann, love Tim too, the big sister and big brother.
Well, welcome to Inside the Game, man. I mean, you know, where we talk about what's going on in the music industry and trends and music and culture. And happy to introduce you guys. This is a legendary producer. You guys are getting a treat. You guys produced Mary J. Blige, Christopher Williams, you know, of course, Ann Nesby. He did the Ann Nesby Al Green track. I mean, this brother is not a producer. He's a composer. I have to give him his props. A lot of producers can't play. He can play. So,
thanks a lot,
sir. My brother.
Thanks for the love, my brother.
No problem, man. How'd you get started in this game?
I got started in the game initially with becoming a songwriter. Well, actually, I was a producing in the city, and Teddy Riley got a little buzz on me, and I ended up going down to Future Records and wrote a song. I wrote a song for Bobby Brown, and that's where it all started. From that point, it ended up working with Big Bob. And from that point, Puff heard about it. So it was like from one stage to the next.
By the way, that's New York City, you guys, if y'all don't know. what was the first track you actually recorded with that actually made you a little bit of notoriety?
Oh, with Big Bob, Telling Me Stories.
That was pretty hot. So let's talk about this. When you look at an artist that you're writing for, what's your process when you sit down and talk to an artist that you write with?
Initially, I just try to find out their direction, you know, definitely, you know, their creative vibe, and just try to tap into that and try to bring the best out of each artist that I work with. That's my initial process, you know, and then, you know, making sure that we can even gel. You know, I love the whole creative process, just bringing something new to the table and respecting each artist as an individual.
When you sit down with an artist that you want to write with, is there a specific topic that you won't touch or you will not do?
I'm definitely not into the topics that degrade women. I'm definitely not into, you know, the whole, you know, money trip thing and just over sex stuff. Like, I think we got enough of that. So I just keep my balance on more of the stuff that has substance to it. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that I won't produce something that's a little edgy, but I really try to stay true to just being, you know, just regular life stuff, you know, outside of what you hear all the time. I think we need a balance of that, you know, life, you know what I'm saying?
We definitely need to bring back some of this soul music that, you know, you've produced before. Let me ask you a question. How did this track come along with the Biggie and Total joint? How did you get involved in that?
Initially, Puff came in the room. He was at one of the studios in New York. He came in with a loop, and I started putting the keys on it, and then next thing you know, we had Terry from I can't think of her last name, but she was there was a bunch of writers on the song, and it just went from one stage to the next.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to get into this track real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about the process that you take to become a producer and the things that you put together. Right?
Oh,
Culture Scene Radio, where urban culture lives, inside the game, with a very special guest, Herb Middleton, tonight. This is the Total track with Biggie, which he works on.
Can't you see?
Can't you see?
Give me all the chicken heads from Pasadena to Medina. Bet big, get in between your dentists. Yeah, the prognosis, doses, blends and bends like Twizzlers. Biggest bitch to hurt, what's under that skirt? Who filling them with octane? Got them gassed up, about to get blasted up, son. The last one, word the mother, brother, miss him. I seen it when he kissed him at the wake, made his body shit. The high guy in 8-bit, the eyes smoke, pink, rap, terror, 4 chrome, and terror.
I like that.
Fly by deliverance, the fifth is conspicuous. Bad boy, 6 to 95, ridiculous.
That's right.
My rap lines is like landmines. One step, kaboom, black suit filled the room. So who can make it serve you? Your mafia is a clique.
Junior Mafia.
I have my honey total bustle.
That's That's right.
In the middle of the day now, baby.
Hello? Hello?
That's a classic cut.
Yeah, man. Still fresh when you hear it. It sounds like yesterday.
It's you know, it's a sound that they can't be duplicated. It, you know, the classic cuts of the 90s reminded me a lot of the classic cuts of the 60s and 70s. It was just, you know, the stylist had to be there. And to be part of that production crew, you know, was an amazing time. You guys were pumping out hits for everybody across the board.
Yeah,
you know, from different artists and different labels. I mean, you guys were working.
Yeah.
And let me ask you, what's your process? When you sit down and you say, I want to write a song about A, B, and C, what is it that you sit down and think about?
Actually, you know what? To be honest, man, I don't really do a lot of thinking. Thinking for me blocks the gift. It's, you know, like when I just sit down and I feel inspired, you know, I just go ahead, just go for it, man. Just let it flow, man. It's definitely a gift from God, so I try not to get in the way of it. When I'm thinking too much, I never really come up with anything that I love. So for the most part, I just go down to the studio, and If I have a focus, if I'm thinking about Faith Evans, I'm thinking, wow, what would sound good with Faith? Or if I'm thinking about Mary, what would sound good with Mary? And Ann Nesby, same. Everybody, just, I try to, you know, think about what, if anything, what the focus is, and then I just let the creativity flow.
Okay, we got some callers that want to hear what you got to say. I'm 619-717. You're on.
This is Harold. This is Harold Whaley. I'm just reaching out to say what's up to everybody, and
Harold,
it's a good show, and I'm glad to be on. What's up, Herb?
What's up, Hal? What's going on, player? Good,
hey,
man. Another singer. This is another singer I got to get with soon.
Another vocalist.
Huh?
Herb's been putting it down for years, so he's a man. I mean, it ain't about me doing nothing but trying to help accelerate somebody else's growth. You know how I do it, Herb.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, Harold.
Absolutely.
Stay tuned. Don't go nowhere, brother. Stay tuned.
I won't go. I'll be on.
All right. Thanks. 818-358, you're on.
What's going on, Big King? Can you hear me, King?
What's up, man? It's me. What's up?
All right. This is Don Jr., CEO of Entertainment Worldwide Network. Big shout out to Herb.
What's up, Don?
Man,
what's up, Don?
Moving,
how you
man.
Doing, player?
Real good. Big shout out to Harold Wiley and all the other people that's coming in on the show, man. It's a lot of knowledge. I'm taking notes. I apologize that I couldn't bring more people, but I got a whole bunch of blasts going out. Man, this is a great deep show, man. It's a lot of people.
Oh, don't worry, man. We try to support you like you support us, and all we trying to do over here, I'm blessed to have guests like Herb, and I've had Ann, and, you know, I've had Chris Jasper, and, you know, Skilo, and executives from major labels at Universal. So what we try to do here, man, is we just try to talk. We don't try to do a show. We just talk. We play some music. And I'm blessed to have these brothers and sisters call in and explain to you young cats how this game goes. So thank you, Don. Stay tuned, because I know you got some questions. I'm going to get into a couple more songs and some conversation, and I want you to stay on because I know you got some questions for my man. All right?
I'm right here, my brother.
All right. Hey, Herb, what's going on, man?
Oh, staying up, man. I'm enjoying it so far. The whole vibe.
Like I told you before, man, we just do a conversation. When you when you find an artist that you want to work with, what is the thought pattern that you go through when you say you see an artist, you see this artist performing, or this artist sends you in a tape? What's the next steps after that to be blessed with Herb Middleton track?
The first step of as far as a signed artist or just someone who's, you know, who's coming from a label standpoint?
Coming from a label standpoint, or you can do both. From a label, someone that hires you, what's the process? When they sit down, would you sit down with the artist and you say, hey, this is what I got in mind for you? Or do you, you know, when you find somebody that you say, I like that, what do you, you know, what's your process?
Well, you know, the process is like I said, for a signed artist, it used to be like, if I know, number one is knowing the gift that's in front of me, is being able to identify with the sound and bringing the best sound out of that. And initially, when I sit down, when I hear a voice, I'm already thinking about what I could create to make that voice sound even, you know, greater. A producer's job is to always to make the artist sound, to challenge the artist. Like, I'm not really a friend of the artist at the time. So I really go hard and like trying to bring out the best of the artists that I work with. As far as new acts, the first thing I look at outside of gifting is what kind of spirit you bring in. Because if you got an ego, you know, it's hard to work with egos, man. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like I look for people who got a lot of some humility that know that, you know what, it's a privilege to even have a gift to be able to do this. But if you come with all, you know, all with the ego, I pass on that. I don't care how hot you are, I pass on that quick. That's why I
say
really,
that again. But see, a lot of people don't realize just because you're hot don't mean everybody's gonna deal with you.
Because you got to be likable in this industry, man. If nobody likes you, nobody's gonna buy your record. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but
so,
you know, like I know, sometimes artists come in and they think, oh, I got a platinum record, you got to work with me. And I've had this conversation when I'm like, look, man, I don't have to work with you. It's a pleasure to work with you. So, you know, let's talk about, you know, what you did for Christopher Williams on that dance song. When you guys went in the studio with that, what was the process?
I mean, the process was for me was to bring out a classic sound because, I mean, Christopher Williams, he's already, you know, he always had that classic, you know,
R&B
sound behind that big Teddy Pendergrass voice. So, I thought like, okay, let me not go Teddy. So I was leaning more towards Marvin, and that's what happened. That's what he came up with Dance For Me.
Okay, we're gonna go into that cut in a second. This is Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. Tonight we have a very special guest, Mr. Herb Middleton, and we're going to play a couple of old joints, and then we're going to get into these new joints that he got over there, new vibe that are murderous. Why don't you introduce this track, man, before we go?
It's Christopher Williams, Dance For Me. Great record, came out in 96, I believe, long time ago, but hopefully y'all enjoy it, even though it's 2015.
Comes along into the lifetime, you know? I'm sure that I got you. Just like this.
Yeah.
Check me out.
It's so nice to be here. In my favorite room. The fire is burning bright. And I see you in the light. Your silhouette. Winding slow for me.
Welcome back to Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives. Tonight we have a very special guest, Mr. Herb Middleton, legendary producer of several major artists. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. You brought me back right there with that one.
Well, you know, you got some classics, and you know, a lot of people may not know who you are, but they know who your music is. I have a question for you. When you went in the studio with these two ladies that I'm going to talk about next, I know the pleasure of doing business with them was great, and you produced some good songs for both, Miss Kelly Price and, of course, Queen of Hip-Hop and Soul, Miss Mary J. Blige. You did some great records for them, man. I mean, amazing records.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, bro.
You care to talk about any of that process and how that went about and what what the songs were?
It was a collaborative effort, to even, with Mary, starting out with Mary. At that point, we had, Faith Evans was involved with the first record that I did was You Gotta Believe. Which, I don't know if you know, Shaka, initially it was a duet with KC.
Really?
Yeah. He's on the background. You can hear him in the background. It was originally a duet. And, I don't know what happened, but it ended up being just Mary at the end of the day.
That's one of those studio stories you can't talk about.
Yeah, so, but the process, man, was like, again, I wanted to give Mary something that was real, real soulful, and came up with the track. And next thing you know, Big Bud was involved with the writing process and Faith, and they came up with a banger with You Gotta Believe. The same process took place with Never Wanna Live Without You. Actually, it was a collaborative effort for the most part. Puffy, he's good with pairing people together.
He got a great ear. I give him that.
Yeah. You got a vision.
Yeah, I love that. And what about with Kelly Price? When you're doing Kelly Price, was that that wasn't a Bad Boy project though?
No, that wasn't Bad Boy. She was on Island, I believe, with Hiram Hicks was running Island Records back
right
around the time.
Yeah, Hiram Hicks was running that, right.
And I think she was connected with Ronald Osley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what the deal was, like through Ronald's production company, something like that.
Yeah, that's
right. Right. I just like I said, I did a track for her. I wanted to do something that was really would bring her vocals out. Well, actually, well, Kelly, you don't have to do nothing to bring her vocals out. You just just give her a track. Just give her a track and let her
hold
go.
On for the ride, huh?
Yeah, she's a phenomenal writer, so and arranger. So you give her a track, and you come in the studio, and it's like it's magic. That's what happens.
So do you like to collab with other writers, or do you like to sometimes do some of this on your own?
No, I love to collaborate, man. I mean, I'm originally a songwriter, believe it or not. That was my strength. It started with me writing songs. Actually, I wrote my first song, was an inspirational song with Dottie Jones, who used to sing with Richard Smallwood. That was my
Richard
first
Smallwood,
placement.
Yeah.
And then from that point, like the Bobby Brown record, so I was really writing songs, but then the production came later. So I love to collaborate. I love trading off ideas with other songwriters just to bring the best out of the song.
How many instruments do you play?
I play, the basic instruments, little drums, keys. The bass was my first.
He's so modest.
The bass was my first pro instrument that I, got paid for. And the percussion, a little guitar. No
just
horns,
funny,
though. Yeah, a little bit of everything.
You're very humble,
the job,
brother.
But,
don't let him fool y'all. He's talking about a little. He can play. he know he can play, and everybody in this industry know Herb can play. So when you're writing songs, I want you to talk to these young kids about how important publishing and owning of your publishing and understanding that process is as a songwriter and a producer, what that value brings to you as an artist. Because a lot of these guys don't really understand how important and what the process is to do.
Yeah, your publishing is that's like your resume, you know, writing songs and keeping a catalog of what you write and keeping your percentages, making sure you copyright your material. You know, your publishing is very valuable. I had to learn a lesson the hard way. I kind of like signed over my publishing early in my career, not knowing how valuable it was.
See, now that's what we want to teach these kids. But yeah. We want to teach them how not to make those mistakes and how important paperwork and paper trail. Because what's going on now is a lot of these kids are making a lot of mistakes that we made coming up, and there's actually no reason for it.
Right, right.
I really like to try and emphasize on edutainment. We definitely like to entertain here, but we definitely want to educate because this is about inside this game. And the only way these kids are going to learn, hopefully they won't have to learn like we learned, by making those fatal mistakes or getting, you know, beat up in our bank accounts and ownerships of our product to create a brand. So if you could expand on some of that, my brother, that would be beautiful.
Well, first of all, you know, there's something that this generation lacks. It is an understanding for value for music. And I think the times have changed it where there's no value, but you have to, no matter what the industry does, you always have to know that your music, your creativity is worth something. It may not be worth something at the time as far as value, monetary or publishing or writing wise, but always value your work and protect it. In addition to that, it's just like Shaki was saying, you know, doing your research online, find out what it is to start your own publishing company, to be aligned with one of the BMI, ASCAP, or one of those companies of your choice. Make sure that when you collaborate with an artist, singer, that you do your split sheets, that you make sure you have your splits. Producers, make sure that you do your have your splits right according to your what you brought to the table with the record. In addition to that, when it comes to songwriting, make sure that you are writing great lyrics and great melodies. A song that can't be remembered is not a hit. No matter that's why.
Say that again. Say that part again.
A song that can't be remembered is not a hit. So. These days, everything is so processed and so busy that by the time you get finished hearing a song, if you can't remember it, you haven't tapped into anybody's memory. So if I can't remember or if I can't hear a song playing after you played it, 9 times out of 10, you haven't gotten my sale.
See, a lot of people don't understand. We're getting ready to play one more old school song, and then we're going to do all new. Your choice.
My choice?
Mary or Kelly?
Oh, man. That's a... Melly.
That was a bad position to put you in. I'm not trying to put you in the crosshairs, man. But
yeah,
I want to get to the new stuff, and I want to, you know, I want to finish the establishing of who and what you produce and really go into the new stuff and where you're going and what the new sounds are and who you're working with. And
all
I don't
right.
want to...
All right, let's go with You Gotta Believe, because I think it's important that You Gotta Believe. You Gotta Believe.
All right, here we go.
You gotta believe in me.
Radio, where urban culture lives, with our special guest, Mr. Herb Middleton. You guys are listening to Inside the Game. Amazing song, man. That was an amazing project.
Yeah.
Got a couple questions. Got some people that want to know, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. 747, you're going to be next, but let me ask you this question. The caller asked, what's the process once you record a song? How do you get people to hear it? How did you get people to hear your material? How do you get people to hear the material?
When I was hired by record companies, you know, the record companies, they had to hear it to approve the records that I got placed. But before then, it's really sometimes it's just like being in the right place at the right time.
I hear that one, brother.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, man, like when I used to be a dispatcher, believe it or not, for a bus company in New York and down in Manhattan, and I had a tape with me of my music. And that's another thing, always have your music with you if you're a producer, because you never know who you're going to run into. And I happened to run into the right person, and she was actually a passenger. And she said, "What do you, you know, what is, what do you have any hobbies?" I said, I do music." And she passed my tape on to someone in Motown, and that was like, "Wow!" You know, next thing you know, I got a call, and I started meeting people in Motown Records, and then everything jumped off from one point to the next. So
that's true. You never know where you're gonna meet. We're gonna go to call 747, and then we're gonna hit your man back over to 619. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Dana Brown Thomas. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California, and I was just calling in to say hello to Herb.
What's up, Dana?
Hey, how are you?
Great, great. Thank you for
calling in. Great. No problem. This is a great interview.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
No problem.
You have any questions you want to ask him?
No, actually, I'm just sitting back listening. That's about it. Enjoying your show. Great show. Great information, great insight. So thank you.
Thank you, Dana.
No problem.
All right.
Is your man Mr. Waverly here? Hello?
Mr. Waverly?
You got any questions, man? You want to?
I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute, man. Yeah, I had my phone on mute. I'm here. I want to comment. You know, I think that, you know, Herb's always been an incredible producer, and I've known Herb for years, so incredible person. He's always stayed on the cutting edge of everything, too. I mean, I just love the fact of where he's going now with his music. I know that he's been getting into some gospel now, right, Herb, if I'm correct?
Well, I've been keeping it, you know, on the inspirational tip more so, you know, just keeping it where everybody can relate to the message of love, and you know what I'm saying, you know, but you know I'm talking about the whole bridge thing. I think that's what you're referring to, the whole bridge music idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that. To me, when you can work with a Kelly Price and you can work with a KC, that's across the board to me. So you got someone that is across the board. So
yeah. And
I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry.
No, but you know what I mean. Okay. So I don't have to say more that. I mean, when I think of Bobby Womack and put him in the room with a Phyllis Hyman, that, you know, it's definitely a variance in the way you put the skills down you have to do for each one of those type of artists. So just the fact of that early in the game when that music was so prevalent to what we hear today, I mean, look at it. Everybody who was somebody in that game back then, based on the music that we were listening to, is someone that's running the business today. So, I mean, that
absolutely.
You look at where Mary J. Blige begot a lot of artists behind her, from the Keisha Coles to all these other artists we see. And then, I mean, the practices that was going down with Puffy and being around Big and Jay-Z being able to pick up all of that right now. When you look at Beyonce and all of where those business practices go, they started where you were sitting in house at. So I look at it as a bigger picture, not just from the music side, but what the music industry is today, and to the point you got Kanye West talking about running for president of the United States. So it's a bigger picture to me on what this music has done to put this situation into where it is today.
Yes, sir.
I agree.
Yes, sir.
I like
the way you put that, the begots, because we can't forget about our history, and you know, it's always referred to as old school music, but the old school music is the foundation of what made us where we are today. So I thank you for that comment, Harold. Always paying homage to the beginning, because before there was a Mary, there was Aretha Franklin. Before there was Aretha Franklin, there was somebody else. And,
well, I mean, it's kind of like Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson was the one that paved the way in baseball, but David Justice is the one who got a $200 million contract. So when you look at it,
I agree with you.
Harold, man, that dude right there, he does. He's an encyclopedia.
The founders never get the money. You're right.
The founders
and the creators never get the money. They barely get the credit. You're right.
Well, I mean, I look at myself like that. I mean, again, in the music industry, I dabbled and made my mark, but I really got more so in this technology world. And even looking at where it is, where Obama is pleading to Silicon Valley to be able to start letting some more African-Americans get into that world. You only got 1% of us in an environment where they're making billions every day at. To me, it's a catastrophe. And that's why I don't just talk to artists about trying to do a album. My thing is, I say, look at where Jay-Z went, okay? He may not know much about, you know, the whole streaming element, but he put his money behind a technology situation that he could eat off of for several, you know, lifetimes. So to me, if you're not thinking that way from the jump while you're doing music, you're just doing music. So to me, you have to be creative all the way around. Creativity doesn't stop with a track. Creativity doesn't stop with lyrics. Creativity, especially with us, we're that creative audience. Everybody follows
what
we do. So I'm scared for us to get into Silicon Valley because it's going to be over once the creativity starts spreading out amongst what we could come up with, idea-wise. Come on, we make it sound right.
Yep.
I agree. We are definitely creative, man. And that's me and Herb was talking about that this morning, how uncreative we've been musically. How unsure we've been musically to take those steps and to not be safe and to move into, you know, one of the things that we have to bring back to music, and me and Herb talked about that this morning, and I think you're saying the same thing, because I'm a tech geek too. I love tech, and I definitely, you know, want us to move the digital, move forward with our community and our culture. We definitely have to utilize digital. That's one of our equal playing grounds. But I think that musically we have to bring back some heart and soul and some love into our music, which will help
Absolutely.
Us move forward on all the levels that we do.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And now this is where I come in with that analogy. One, I believe that we're in a world right now where the average Joe, my son, 9 years old, is working on music right now. He's in the house working on a song right now on his iPad that has GarageBand. So what would have kept him from waiting till we had, you know, $700 to take him to a real studio to do it, now I don't have that barrier in front of me anymore. So my piece is our thought to bring back that real music is to put it in a setting where it's not set up for a show. Because when you do get in the studio now and you round all your boys, you got to talk negative about women. You got to do all this
negative
stuff that they put in place. Whereas he's sitting in the house now and coming out of his soul. I ain't even touching it. I let him do that and work on it. And he teach him how to fine tune it, because really, believe it or not, you can come up with a real master track off an iPad right now. It's just cats don't
Trying
to work
most
that
definitely.
Way yet because they don't get it. They still too busy buying rims. So my piece is
I agree with what you're saying. We have to bring back our culture, and we have to push our culture to a certain extent, and we do have to control the negativity, and I think music is one of the most creative ventures that we've done. So cats like Herb, who can actually play compared to some people who can't, can help move the digital situation forward for both sides of the fence,
mm-hmm.
creatively and technically.
And I think
you can have the digital behind you all the digital thing is definitely a plus. But in addition to that, your soul gotta be attached to what you're doing.
Correct.
Because if you lose your soul, then that's where everybody changes and thinks that you gotta be negative to be successful.
But wouldn't you agree, Herb, when knowing how to play, you know, knowing the difference between a C flat and an A sharp is a big piece of the puzzle. My point now, we don't have music in schools. They're taking that out of the game. So I think it's an obligation for Herb Middleton to start making training videos with teaching these kids the difference between that, so that they can learn and the only thing they have in front of them is a MPC is not the only value they have. So to me, those that know that don't teach are being selfish.
Right,
and
absolutely.
I
agree with you. I agree totally.
So that's my whole world on it. I used to tell this to Ike Turner. I told it to James Brown. I would blame those guys for a lot of the state that we have in hip-hop right now, because those were the guys that went to Juilliard. Those were the guys that had all
the
knowledge.
Yeah, they weren't
the
teachers. Yeah.
Okay, but they weren't.
You're right.
Okay, they weren't teachers because nobody taught them to teach. So if we could say it all day, a lot of us would say we aren't teachers, but everybody jump on YouTube and show somebody how somebody hit somebody in the head. So, come on. The difference
I agree with you, because me and Herb talked about that today. We talked about, you know, not just being talking about change, but being catalyst for the change. And we have to also understand the business side of what we're talking about. And that's why I wanted to bring Herb on to talk about his musical foundation, his actual learning and knowing how to play. And I had the same conversation with Chris Jasper. And also at the same time, pushing the envelope to help creativity by not just having to go ask for a record company to give me a deal, but cats like Herb and Chris and even Ann starting their own labels, bringing out artists and teaching them how to become mm-hmm. artists, how to do the artist thing, and understand the business side. We definitely also have to understand not just the tech, but the business side.
Yeah.
And, you know, cats like those guys that I mentioned, you know, and you know, I have a small label myself. It's about helping to bring forth that energy, like you said, and teach one. So we help bring in, we help create, we help cultivate, and then we help educate.
Mm-hmm.
Right, 100% agree. We all on the same page. I just think that because there's so many other opportunities, especially even in the financial game, why tech is so important. Because you can accept a Bitcoin from somebody in Africa that's going to watch your video to see you perform. So those are the kind of mindsets business-wise that I think our artists and our young people need to understand on a full value, because it's not limited to standing at the door collecting a dollar for your CD. You really got an open market that you can cater to keep you fed on the weekends.
This ain't the same industry we fell in love with, on both the creative, the technical, and the business side. There's been some changes and some setbacks, and, you know, brothers like Herb and brothers like you, you know, we got to get together on shows like this and really talk. This is why this show is here, so we can talk, because we don't talk to each other. We talk at each other.
Right, right.
And I put together this radio network here, and we have a satellite radio network that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're trying to build a format that uses digital format with creative heart and soul and a business practice. And we're open to looking at new shows. I definitely want to talk to you, man. You know, I'm going to call you after the show, and I'm going to give you my number because I want to talk about technical advances in our community. So I definitely want to holler at you.
Definitely got the right one for that.
I want you to come on my show a couple times. If not, talk to you about doing your own situation, because I think it's definitely needed. But I'm going to get into this track for you. This, I told you I love this girl. The Shoe Game song that you did, Herb.
Oh, yeah,
that's a nice track.
Thank you, bro.
And I think that, what the brother was saying and what I was believing was you got to definitely understand where this is going. And I want to push that, because the new sounds that you got, and like the brother said, you're using a new form. You've got your own distribution, which is digital and technology. You know, new vibe is a whole new situation. We don't have to go to major labels no more. We don't have to go, you know, like the old EPMD song, "Please Listen to My Demo." We're able to control our publishing. We're able to control our masters, which is the business part of this. Understand the marketing and promotion of this business, which you have to be able to do. I definitely want to bring you back on here and do a part two with you, because we've got to get into some business sides of things. We did a little bit of the foundation on where you are. We're going to drop this new joint and one more before we leave. But at the same time, I want to definitely invite you to our round table. And Mr. Waverly, too, I want you to come in and listen, because we want to definitely set up a round table at least once a month with different industry execs and writers and producers to explain how this game works. All right? So I'm going to get into this Shoe Game song with you, man. I definitely want to do this. I'm interviewed far from over, and I love to see my people asking for more. We got at least another 5 or 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about some serious stuff. We're going to talk about the label, and then we'll get into some movement. All right?
Sounds good.
This is Culture Zine Radio Network. Inside the game, remember, this is where urban culture lives.
You got it?
I see my lady. I see something on my Instagram. Could it be the truth I've been waiting for?
When you open up the box and it's open,
wow.
The feeling that you get when you slide your toes in it,
right.
The feeling that you get when you strap around your ankle real tight, and then stand up and you're 10 feet tall if you're number five. You have permission to buy me however many shoes you like. I'm just Jeffy's tonight. I promise I won't treat them nice. I'll frame them while I might even name them. If it's just dope show, I'll claim them. Polo boots, sky high, golden loops, platforms with the hardware done by paper box. I don't want some lace socks, cute open toe, flat, slammed out strap, suede boots by Madison. Got my silhouette etched in, so elegant, so relevant. Can you handle it? She's killing it.
Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. You listen to Inside the Game tonight with our special guest, Mr. Herb Middleton, legendary producer, CEO of New Tribe. What's going on, brother?
New Vibe, yeah. Well, man, I'm just glad
you know,
to be a part of your
Vibe
show,
records,
man. I'm feeling it, yeah. New Vibe.
How's that going for you at New Vibe?
Hey, man, it's a work in progress, man. It's been a long haul. Being an independent is not easy, but you know what? I'm in control of my destiny, and I get to pour into these artists, and like we were discussing, I'm able to do artist development. You know, like it's something that is missing. You know, artist development. So I'm proud of what we have on the label. That was Ida Divine. Her record drops on October 13th. Incredible artist. So many things I want to say about her. I probably don't have the time tonight, but we could definitely
bring her on.
Huh?
We can do a New Vibe night.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to bring her on, man. She's a great artist.
I'm not above doing a New Vibe night with your artists and bringing them on and talking to them, because what we want to do, man, is we want to bridge the gap between yesterday's music and today's sound.
Right.
Got a couple questions for you, but first I wanted to definitely like the way you threw the new digital verse and some things with IG. You know, a lot of people didn't really get that was Instagram, but I love the way you put that on there, and that's branding and marketing slickly, and I love it. Well, I mean, you know, it is. It works. It puts us in a better position. I had a caller text me and say they basically wanted to know You know, what do you feel about some of this new music? You know, is there a class for chance for some of this to be classic, and could it have lasted in the era where we were, you know, we were, it felt like we were the soul babies, the birth of what was going on with soul in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We in the 90s and 2000s as young producers and execs were in a very blessed state of production and promotion. We didn't have all the slick internet stuff they had now, so we actually, when we say street promotion, we were out on the corner banging those streets. You know.
Yep.
And nobody was above it. Even executives were out putting posters up. That's just the way it worked. But what do you think about the new music? Not trying to put it down, but, you know, do you feel that there's some classic artists in new music that definitely have got a chance of helping to keep this moving forward? Because I really feel these kids don't really get a chance to really hear good, real music anymore.
No, they're definitely missing out. They're definitely missing out on the history. There's a new generation right now that's running the music business. I think we really put ourselves, we shot ourselves down when we started putting an age bracket on music. When I was coming up, you know, I was listening to Michael Jackson as a kid. And my parents were listening to The Temptations. And, you know, I had both age groups, so I didn't know the difference when I was coming up. Now what's being fed is only the younger generation is being fed, and where the older generation that is being left out. It has been left out for years, and I think now record companies are starting to wake up. So now you got people that's coming back 40 years old plus, coming back and making records, and that's the way it should have been all along. But in addition to that, we need to have more people who were successful to go back and bring back the sound with the right motives and to make great music. Like, one thing for myself, I never lost the passion to make great music, whether I was working for Mary or someone that nobody knew, which is what I'm doing right now. With my company and my brand, HerbMiddletonMusic.com. You can visit that, by the way.
Definitely give out all your information, your internet and emails and, you know, contact information.
Yeah, well, I have a new site, Shaki, it's HerbMiddletonMusic.com. It's a site where I'm in the developing stages for new artists and promoting them outside of the U.S. and the U.S., whether it's signed to my label or not. I have some people that's working with me strategically to bring about exposing these new artists who are talented. What every artist needs to understand, even the ones that have been here before, is that everybody was an independent before. Before Mary was Mary J. Blige, she was an independent that nobody knew. And I feel like, you know, right now I could take anybody that has any skill and humble enough to really take constructive criticism. Well, I got to learn how to talk. Howard, help me out. Constructive criticism. and build the artists who may not have no knowledge of the game musically and business-wise, and make them into, give them a chance to shine just like these older artists do.
Well, I know that's what New Vibe is trying to do. I'm definitely happy for what you're doing. I want to bring you back. Again, that's HerbMiddletonMusic.com. What's your email address?
My email address is herb@newvibe.com. herbnuvybe.com.
You're doing some wonderful things over there, man. I definitely hope we can get a New Vibe night with you. We can sit down and talk about all the different artists and bring you into different publishing situations. It's definitely going to get a lot deeper.
Appreciate that,
my brother. I want to invite you to come back. We definitely got a lot of work and a lot of talking to do. You are at a point where you're talking about digital distribution. You're talking about the things that need to progress in our culture and our music, and that's where we need to go. As an independent label, I definitely feel you. We have an independent label here with a couple of artists that we're working on, so I definitely feel you. And I plan to bring some artists over there to get some production from you.
Absolutely, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
With that
you
being said, with that being said, I definitely want to say thank you for being a great person to come on the show. You're welcome
anytime.
Pleasure, we want you to feel at home here, brother. So definitely send your new stuff. We'll definitely break it. We don't have a problem with that. I want you guys to understand this is Inside the Game radio show on Culture Zine. I'm talking about myself. On Culture Zine Radio Network, Urban Culture Lives. You can reach us at Inside the Game radio show at gmail.com, or you can reach us to Inside the Game at Facebook, or you can just go on to Soulbridge Entertainment, the whole word spelled out, .com. Hit me up. Anytime you need something, let's sit down and talk. Let's get together. And with that, I want to say peace and love. Remember, he may not come when y'all call, but he's always on time.
Always on time. All right, my brother. Good night.
We're going to get ready to go out. We're going to go out on the song Girlfriend. I love this track. Give me a little info on that before we shoot it out.
Emmanuel Withers, talented brother from the B-More area, bringing back that soul classic music. I think he's the new Eddie Kendricks. Girlfriend.
Peace, y'all. See y'all. We'll be black next week. See y'all.
Peace.
When expectations and reality collide, that's really what it is. I think, you know, as much as I was trying to tell myself, no, I'm not looking for nobody, I'm good. I wanted to really be, you know, his girlfriend. I didn't want to be just peeking on the side or sneaking around. Like, deep down, I mean, I've always wanted to be in love.
Word. I've always wanted to be in love, too.